The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is John Ivey for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Sports Illustrated for Kids. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the September-October issue of Sports Illustrated for Kids. And we're going to begin today on page 8, Who's Who, third line. Ludvig Åberg, PGA Tour golfer. His height is 6'3". His weight is 190 pounds. He was born October 31st, 1999, hometown Eslöv, Sweden. Playing in his first career major, Åberg finished second at the Masters in April. He then held the lead at the midway point of the United States Open before finishing 12th. Those performances helped the 24-year-old Åberg, who began the 2023 season ranked 3,053rd in the world, reach the number 4 spot in June. Did you know, though, only one player from Aberg's home country of Sweden has won a men's major tournament? Henrik Stenson, who won the 2016 Open Championship. Derica Hamby, Los Angeles Sparks forward. Her height is 6'3". She was born November 6, 1993, hometown Marietta, Georgia. Throughout 24 games this season, Hamby was averaging 19.2 points, 10.0 rebounds, and 3.5 assists per game, all career bests. She made the WNBA All-Star game for the third time. Now a starter, Hamby was long one of the WNBA's top reserves. She was named Sixth Player of the Year in 2019 and 2020. Did you know, though, Hamby represented the United States in 3x3 basketball of the 2024 Olympics, the second time the sport has been featured at the Games. And finally, we have Hunter Green, Cincinnati Reds pitcher. His height is 6'5". His weight is 242 pounds. He was born August 6, 1999, hometown Los Angeles, California. Green made the NL All-Star team for the first time in 2024. Through his first 21 starts, he was 7-4 with a 2.97 ERA and was allowing a lead low 5.9 hits per nine innings. His WAR of 4.5 was the best among NHL pitchers, and his second major league start in 2022, Green set an MLB record with 39 pitchers clocked at 100 miles per hour or better. Did you know? When he was in high school, Green was featured on the cover of both SI Kids and Sports Illustrated. Warm-up, hot take, ignorance is bliss. Quick, without looking it up, who leads Major League Baseball in balls hit with an exit velocity of at least 95 miles per hour? How about this one? Which pitcher leads the league in fastest average delivery to the plate with the bases empty? The answers, as of the time I submitted this column, are Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and Brent Suter, respectively. The real answers were, of course, who and cares. Hitting the ball hard is good. Everyone appreciates a pitcher who works fast, but nobody needs to know the league leader in hard-hit balls. That's a process statistic, and this is a results-based business. I'm much more interested in who has the most hits. After all, a 95-mile-per-hour-plus batted ball isn't very useful if it zips straight into the fielder's glove. Now that we all agree that these numbers are trivial, even by the standards of baseball statistics, answer me another question. Why do telecasts insist on showing them? Watch any baseball broadcast and there will be micro-statistics, exit velocities, route efficiencies, time to the plate. Apple's TV MLB broadcast even presents live odds of minor events. 10.2% chance of getting on base. What a buzzkill. I was really hoping this guy would start the rally. I know what you're thinking. I'm the world's oldest, crankiest preteen. Broadcast used to show batting average. Then they upgraded to OPS. Now there's exit velocity. But that's not progress. Average and OPS are helpful stats. They provide context. Aaron Judge is hitting .315 with 39 homers. He's having a great year. Let's see what he does next. Then he homers. I jump off my couch and cheer. Now I know he has 39 homers. Then the TV tells me he hit the ball 105 miles per hour. That sounds fast? Is that good? What's the average velocity? I'm not more excited about the home run. If anything, I'm slightly confused. And don't compare exit velocity to pitch speed. The object of throwing a fastball is to throw the ball fast. Every incremental degree of pitch velocity has meaning to baseball fans. The difference between a 97-mile-per-hour pitch and a 94-mile-per-hour pitch is the difference between a spot in a bullpen and a demotion to the minors. The difference between a 97-mile-per-hour batted ball and a 94-mile-per-hour batted ball is just 3 miles per hour, I think. Don't quote me on that. Unfortunately, this kind of superfluous information has spread beyond baseball. NFL next-gen stats include pass rush separation, completion probability, and average cushion. If that last one sounds straight out of a negative review of a chair on Amazon, try to guess which of these two is real and which I made up. Average air yards differential, or yards after catch above expectation. Trick question. They're both real. Don't just take my word for it, though. Bill James, the father of sabermetrics, recently posted a thread on Twitter by X in which he bemoaned the fascination with small measurements at the expense of analysis of big questions. It's like our clothes have been caught in the machinery, James wrote. As one who has gotten his shirt caught in all sorts of machinery around the office, pencil sharpener, automatic hand dryer, peanut butter maker, I can tell you firsthand, that's not a good. And now that I've hit another column of Out of the Park, let me hit you with a few interesting facts. This article is 582 words long and contains 3,383 characters. Not interested? Kind of a boring ending? Exactly. We called it, for these stars, the future is now. Last year, we featured Hesley Rivera as the future star in our May-June issue. She said, I've always dreamed of being at the Olympics. My dream is slowly coming true. Slowly? Is this your idea of slowly, Hesley? Barely 12 months later, the 16-year-old landed a spot on the United States Olympic team after finishing fifth in the all-round at the trials. In Paris, Hesley, above, second from left, competed on the uneven bars and balance beam during the qualification round, helping put the United States into the team finals where the squad won gold. I don't believe this will be her last Olympics, teammate Simone Biles said, and the GOAT should know. Hesley isn't the only athlete from our pages to become a present star. Kayvon Sullivan, below, who was featured in last year's July-August issue, made his pro debut for Philadelphia Union 2 in an MLS Next Pro game in March. He assisted on the game-winning goal. Then, on July 17, the 14-year-old became the youngest player to appear in an MLS game in the Union's 5-1 win over New England. I see the stories about top prospects, then they fall off, Kayvon told us last year. That's one of my biggest fears. It definitely motivates me. It doesn't look like he has much to worry about. September birthdays. September 4th, Montez Sweat of the Chicago Bears celebrates his 28th birthday. On September 5th, England and Arsenal of forward Bukayo Saka is 23. Guard Jaren Jackson Jr. of the Memphis Grizzlies is 25 years old on the 15th. On the 20th, Olympic silver medal winner diver Sarah Bacon turns 28. On to the NFL preview. Relevant players in the NFC. NFC East, Dayron Bland, cornerback, Dallas Cowboys. The Cowboys led the NFL in scoring last year, but before you give all the credit to quarterback Dak Prescott and the offense, consider this. The player who was tied for fourth on the team in touchdowns with was a cornerback. Dayron Bland, a fifth-round pick in 2022, had a league-leading 9 interceptions, and he ran 5 of them back for touchdowns. That's the most pick sixes in a season in NFL history. With such a big play potential on both sides of the ball, the Cowboys are a good bet to repeat as NFC East champs, especially considering how poorly the Eagles played down the stretch. Coming off a Super Bowl appearance, Philadelphia started the campaign 10-1, then lost 5 of 6 to close out the regular season. The Eagles were then blown out by the Buccaneers in the playoffs. With Washington and the Giants in rebuilding mode, Philly's Follies are sure to have the Cowboys feeling confident in 2024. SIK predicts San Francisco over Dallas in the NFC Championship. NFC North, Kayshawn Nixon, cornerback, kick returner, Green Bay Packers. If the guy who is drafted last is Mr. Irrelevant, what do you call a guy who wasn't drafted at all? If you're talking about Kayshawn Nixon, you call him an All-Pro. For the second straight year, the cornerback made the All-Pro team as a kick returner. Nixon also emerged as a key component of the Packers' secondary in his role as the team's nickelback. Having a stingy defense is a must for the Packers, who were 9-8 last year, but nearly knocked off the 49ers in the playoffs. Green Bay will challenge Detroit for supremacy in the division. The Lions have an explosive passing game, led by quarterback Jared Goff, and they had 2 running backs rush for more than 900 yards. The NFC North is traditionally a rugged, hard-hitting, defense-heavy division. But this year, it could come down to big plays on offense and the ability to stop them or special teams. And Nixon will play a large role in whether or not Green Bay succeeds. NFC South, Adam Thielen, wide receiver, Carolina Panthers. The Panthers have a quarterback with loads of potential. Bryce Young, the top pick in the 2023 draft. But if there's one thing a young quarterback needs to grow, it's a veteran receiver who is always a dependable option. That's where Adam Thielen comes into play. Undrafted in 2013, Thielen spent a decade with the Vikings before joining Carolina last year. He was Young's top target, catching 103 passes for 1,014 yards, and the 34-year-old would continue to play a key role in Young's development. The Panthers also invested heavily in their offensive line after their quarterback was sacked 62 times last year when the team won just 2 games. But the South is up for grabs. No team has won more than 9 games in either of the past 2 seasons. A leap from Young with help from his favorite receiver could put Carolina into the mix in a division where the Falcons, who are coming off a 7-10 season and a botched draft, are the best team on paper. Puka Nacua, wide receiver, Los Angeles Rams. Of all the teams chasing the 49ers in the NFC West, the Rams have the best chance of actually catching them. Los Angeles bounced back from a disappointing 2022 to make the playoffs last year. Like the Niners, they got a breakout season from a late draft pick, Puka Nacua, a fifth-rounder, set NFL rookie record for catches, 105, and receiving yards, 1,486. He and Cooper Kupp give the Rams one of the best receiving tandems in the game. and another fifth-round pick, Kyren Williams, who was drafted in 2022, rushed for more than 1,000 yards. A young defense will be tested early. L.A. faces Detroit and San Francisco, the two teams from last year's NFC title game, in the first 3 weeks. A slow start could open the door for an improving Seattle team, playing under new coach Mike McDonald, to sneak into the race. It's not out of the question for three teams from the division, sorry Arizona, to make it to the postseason. Relevant players in the AFC. AFC East, Tyreek Hill, wide receiver, Miami Dolphins. The Bills have won four straight AFC East titles, but other teams in the division are catching up. Like Miami, the Dolphins have one of the league's most explosive offenses thanks to wide receiver Tyreek Hill, one of the speediest players in the game. He and quarterback Tuatha Tagovailoa form a fearsome deep threat. A fifth-round pick in 2016, Hill had an NFL-best 13 TD receptions last year and averaged 15.1 yards per catch. If Miami's defense can match the play of its offense, which was second in the league in points scored, the Bills, who have lost in the divisional round for three straight years, could find themselves looking up in the standings at a rival for the first time in a long time. The defensive-minded Jets will be interesting, especially if quarterback Aaron Rodgers is healthy. And New England will be worth watching, if only to see how the team embraces new coach Jared Mayo, who replaces longtime boss Bill Belichick. AFC North, Jaylen Warren, running back, Pittsburgh Steelers. Pittsburgh somehow went 10-7 last year, despite an offense that ranked 28th in points and a passing attack that was responsible for just 13 touchdowns. So how did the Steelers win? Like they always do, with hard-nosed football. The defense was strong, and the two-headed rushing game was fierce. Najee Harris topped 1,000 yards, but Jaylen Warren, an unheralded back who was undrafted in 2022, might have been more valuable. Warren ran for 784 yards and averaged 5.3 yards per carry. He also caught 61 passes, and his skills as a receiver will help whoever ends up as Pittsburgh's quarterback. The team acquired 35-year-old Russell Wilson and erratic Justin Fields to battle for the starting role. Neither is likely to put up huge numbers downfield. So expect the Steelers to again grind it out in a division that features three other legit playoff hopefuls, all of which have serious question marks. AFC South, Stephon Diggs, wide receiver, Houston Texans. This isn't the most glamorous division in football. Only one team, the Colts, has ever won a Super Bowl, and the other three franchises have just one combined big game appearance between them. But the South race is shaping up to be a fun and wide-open one. The Texans gave quarterback C.J. Stroud, who threw for 4,108 yards as a rookie, an upgrade at receiver when they traded for Stephon Diggs. Originally a fifth-round pick in 2015, Diggs blossomed into one of the game's top pass catchers in Minnesota and then in Buffalo. But he grew dissatisfied with his role in the Bills' offense, despite having four consecutive 1,000-yard receiving seasons. He'll make Houston, which also picked up elite pass rusher Danielle Hunter, to bolster a strong defense, the favorite in the division. But young quarterbacks in Jacksonville, Trevor Lawrence, and Indianapolis, Anthony Richardson, could have something to say about that. AFC West, Isaiah Pacheco, running back, Kansas City Chiefs. With Kansas City on the verge of making history as the first three-peat Super Bowl winner, much of the attention is on quarterback Patrick Mahomes and the team's downfield passing game. But Kansas City will again need a ground game to keep defenses honest, and that's where Isaiah Pacheco comes in. Drafted 251st in 2022, just 11 picks before Mr. Irrelevant Brock Purdy, Pacheco has blossomed into a physical back who is capable of making a big play. He had 3 TDs in the Chiefs' 4 postseason games last year. Kansas City is not getting any younger, so the more the team can rely on the 24-year-old, the better, especially after the Chargers hired coach Jim Harbaugh away from Michigan. He has a reputation for bringing out the best in quarterbacks. That's good news for Justin Herbert, who has put up decent numbers in his career, but has just 1 playoff game, a 2022 loss, to show for it. Continuing with football preview, the NCAA. Number 1, good road trip. Okay, consider everything you've ever learned about United States geography and math. Now, forget all of it. As schools scramble to unite and form super conferences, things like meaningful names and common sense have gone out the window. How else can we explain why the Cal Bears, whose football stadium lies less than 10 miles from the Pacific Ocean, are now a member of the Atlantic Coast Conference? Or how the Big Ten could add 4 teams, bringing its total to 18? Conference realignment will be the biggest story this season. Cal will be joined by Stanford and SMU in the ACC. The Big Ten will welcome USC, UCLA, Oregon, and Washington. The SEC will add Texas and Oklahoma. The Pac-12? Sorry, it's gone. The moves will create some incredible matchups like Texas against Georgia and Ohio State versus Oregon. It will also create some ridiculous ones. Rutgers will play at USC in a game that kicks off at 11 p.m. back in New Jersey. They used to say you can tell the players without a program. Well, now you need a roadmap, too. Here are the 5 biggest stories to watch in a college season in which everyone is on the move. Number 2, what can Colorado do for an encore? The Buffaloes were the most intriguing team in the country in 2023. Coach Deion Sanders arrived from Jackson State and completely remade the Colorado roster, handing the reins of the offense over to his son, Shador Sanders. The Buffs, who had been winless the season before, started 3-0 and made their way into the top 25 before a late-season slump saw them finish 4-8. As the team struggled, Shador continued his excellent play. He finished the year with 3,230 passing yards, 27 touchdowns, and just 3 interceptions. He'll be a major factor in the Heisman Trophy race, especially if his dad can build a defense that's an upgrade from last year's porous unit that allowed 34.8 points per game. The Buffs weren't always good last year, but thanks to Coach Prime and his kid, they're always must-see. Continuing with football preview number 3, finally an end to all debates and arguments. The number of conferences is shrinking, but number of teams who will have a chance to win a national championship is going up drastically. After years of a 4-school field, 2024 will feature a 12-team college football playoff. That means less squabbling about worthy teams getting left out, at least until Notre Dame ends up 13th and its fan base goes nuts. One interesting feature of the new CFP is that the top 5 conference champions get automatic berths. Since there are only 4 power conferences now that the Pac-12 has ceased to exist, at least one school from a lesser league will get in. In the history of the CFP, only one team outside the Power 5 ever made the field. The playoff features on-campus games followed by traditional bowl games hosting later rounds. We'll probably see familiar faces in the Final 4, but at least more teams will have something to play for in the regular season. Number 4, everyone into the portal. In recent years, college athletes have earned the right to benefit financially from their name, image, and likeness, as well as to transfer schools with fewer and fewer restrictions on their eligibility. Just look at Dylan Gabriel. After 2 full seasons and an injury-shortened third year at Central Florida, he moved on to Oklahoma. where he threw for more than 3,000 yards twice. Last December, he announced he'd be transferring again, now at Oregon. The 23-year-old should break the NCAA quarterback record of games played. He's at 50. Gable also has an outside shot at the NCAA career passing yardage record. He'll need to throw for 4,353 yards to break it. One thing is for sure, certain though, his experience will allow him to step in and immediately lead a talented Ducks team, and his proven ability to function in a variety of systems will help his draft stock next spring. Number five, big hat to fill in Tuscaloosa. Coach Paul Bear Bryant, who was known for pacing the sidelines in a houndstooth hat, set the bar very high at Alabama. The Bear won six national titles before retiring in 1982. In the 25 years that followed, Bama went through six full-time coaches, and the Crimson Tide won just one national championship. Then came Nick Saban. After taking the job in 2007, he led Bama to six national championships while somehow making giant sun hats a fashion statement. Saban surprisingly retired in January, and Alabama replaced him with Kalen DeBoer. The former Washington coach has an impressive resume. He led the Huskies to the CFP title game last year, his second in charge. DeBoer acknowledged the shadows his predecessors cast in his introductory press conference, saying that most schools don't have one legend, let alone two. He also knows that the fan base in Tuscaloosa is notoriously impatient. Game on. What's the call? Second chance. In a soccer game under FIF rules, Bethany takes a penalty kick which slams against the post. The ball rebounds to her and she shoots it past the keeper, Luann, and into the net. Luann is up in arms. Does the goal count? Do 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 do. On a penalty kick, another player has to touch the ball before Bethany can strike it again. The goal does not count. We've run out of time for today's episode of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm John Ivey, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Sports Illustrated for Kids is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.